May the God of peace fill you with all joy in believing. Amen. His word upon which we meditate this morning is that gospel lesson read before from John chapter 10, especially these last words of the 10th verse. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you are the God of peace. Fill us with all joy in believing. Amen. Be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, dear sheep of His pasture. One of the things that convinces me to believe that the Bible is true is the way Jesus speaks His kindest, gentlest, most winsome words to His worst enemies. Who would have thought of this? Who would do it this way? Where in John chapters 5 through 11, the intensity of hatred against Jesus is just increasing by leaps and bounds. Every time He opens His mouth, there are some Jewish religious leaders there that want to arrest Him. They're picking up stones to kill Him. They want to do away with Him because He keeps on pointing out their sin and pointing to Himself as their Savior. He's trying to lead them to repentance. He wants to be their good shepherd. And in anger, like stubborn sheep, they'll have none of it. Like those two sheep some years ago, or the two keepers of the sheep, a husband and wife that were killed by a ram out somewhere in the Carolinas. Sheep can be pretty mean and dangerous. And the sheep of his pasture that he was trying to get among the Jews were certainly that way. And yet, while Jesus continually tries to win them over with beautiful words like these before us, He is also comforting the hearts and the spirits of those who have seen their sin and then in Him see the Savior. He has led us to repentance. He wants to keep us as sheep of His pasture. He wants to continually always be our good shepherd. And so today, He says, follow the good shepherd for life, real life. But in order to do so, we need to first, last, and always listen to his voice. Listen to the good shepherd's voice. You can easily imagine yourself as a rancher out in the Dakotas, looking out the ranch house window over to your sheep pen over there, the corral where all the sheep are in, and in the gathering dusk, you see somebody on the far side of the fence climbing over. If you have been having problems with rustlers, especially the kind that don't steal the sheep but kill the sheep, no hesitation here. You've got your gun in your hand and you're out the door before your wife can even ask what's up. And if your sheep are in danger, as well they might be because anybody that's supposed to be out there ought to come around and go through the gate where you can see them, you can just imagine your heart pounding, the adrenaline in your ears. No hesitation, you will take care of your sheep. You don't have to be a rancher to understand Jesus' parable. He cares for the sheep. It's not just a matter of property with him. They are his own. His whole reputation, his name, is wrapped up in how well these sheep are cared for. So I tell you the truth, Jesus says, or more literally, John likes to say amen, amen, twice in a row. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the absolute truth, there's no debating this. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. A thief steals by stealth. A robber uses force. A fence climber does both. And the good shepherd watching his sheep is on to that. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. He can go in broad daylight, through the gate where everyone can see him because he has business there. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out as all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow the voice of a stranger. Listen to the voice of your good shepherd. Even if you're not one who cares for sheep, you can understand how the sheep could listen to his voice. We do have a problem in the West because of the way we tend to herd sheep with dogs. You know, these very intelligent border collies. The shepherd sends the border collie out into the pasture and he'll bring those sheep around all right, nipping at their heels. That's our style here. It's not the way they do it where Jesus was speaking to these people. Even today, Palestinian, Arab, Israeli shepherds herd their sheep by the sound of their voice. You can have a mixed flock, several flocks in the same sheep pen or fold, and the shepherd could go in there, and this is what they do. They walk in there, and they walk around talking until their own sheep all gather around them, and then the shepherd walks out the gate, but only his sheep will follow, because the other sheep will not follow the voice of a shepherd. Jesus speaks to us in the Bible, His holy word. He says, follow the voice of the good shepherd. This is for your health, for your safety. The thief, the robber, only comes to steal and kill and harm, to destroy the church of God, to drag souls into hell. That's the goal of the old evil foe. That's the goal of anyone who climbs over the gate or over the fence and avoids the gate. Jesus, the good shepherd, says, listen to his voice. He recognizes what we're like, sheep who love to wander, always climbing fences, always looking on the other side, always thinking that somewhere over there must be greener grass. Like a sheep in a perfectly green pasture will look over on the other side of a barbed wire fence and see a little clump of grass and think he should go after that. But you know, by the time we get over there, if we manage to escape, it's never as good as it looks when we're outside of the care of our shepherd. But on the other side, away from his holy word, our souls are thirsty. They don't have the water of life or the green pasture that our shepherd wants to provide for us in his word. So we can't find our way back. We don't have the strength unless the shepherd comes looking for us. There are so many voices out there to listen to, especially in America today with all the great media that we have. It's not just TV anymore. You can get it off the radio, the internet, books still printed. All sorts of ways for other voices to be out there as attractive to our souls, our sinful souls, as mud puddles are to the sheep. I'm told that as a shepherd leads his sheep along the dirt roads and up into the high country, there's mud puddles here and there and everywhere. He's got them headed for the fresh water in the high mountain pastures, and all they can do is stop and drink along the way. This idea comes along and we want to go there. And that idea comes along. It's here, there, and everywhere. Every new idea that comes along attracts our minds like that mud puddle to sheep. And so we drink and we feel great. But like sheep, we can't sense that we just sucked parasites into our souls. It's just a matter of time. We'll be sick. Sick with what we drank in by our own choice. Instead of following the voice of the good shepherd and listening to him, thus says the Lord. And as in the children's lesson, our habits, the ruts in our lives, the paths we keep walking over and over again, picking up in our wool, the filth of the world around us, the sinful ideas and attitudes, it's just such a prime spot to lie down and relax. And we get to rolling back and forth and making ourselves more and more comfortable in our lives because our good shepherd has provided so well. We're fat. We're healthy. We have so much. And there's the spot for comfort. And the sheep rolls back and forth until finally the center of gravity shifts and that heavy wool, our sinful lives, roll us over, and now we're belly up. Now we're vulnerable. There's no way a sheep can roll back on its feet. Long out in the sun will kill him in a matter of hours. This is a cast sheep. This is a sheep that will die because he didn't listen to his master's voice. He didn't continue to follow. This happens every time we get too far from the holy word of God and start following our own opinions, the ideas of the world, the old sinful foe out there. And the good shepherd has constant work to do. Follow the good shepherd, listen to his voice, and thank God that from early times the shepherd knew what a cast sheep was. Now maybe you can understand what David, or this is a different psalmist, one of the sons of Korah in Psalm 42, meant with this psalm. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you like a sheep flat on your back with no hope and dying? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. You won't get yourself back on your feet. No matter how hard you try to roll back and forth and find your own way back to your good shepherd, you'll die. The harder you try, the sicker you become, the sooner you die. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God, the one who comes looking for me, the one who saves me. Is my good shepherd. My soul is downcast within me. I am a cast sheep. Therefore, I will remember you. The fact of the matter is, in that position, foolish, wandering, sinful sheep like us are really in the best position to appreciate the help of the good shepherd. The good shepherd comes to find us. Flat on our back, we can't see Him coming, but we hear His voice. He's singing along the way, whistling perhaps. He knows where to look because He's seen us in those familiar paths before. It's not the first time. And He knows foolish sheep in His flock, it won't be the last. Before we can even see Him, we hear His voice and we feel those strong hands under our body lifting us up and turning us over and setting us back on our feet. You foolish sheep, when will you ever learn? And if the sun has been hot on our belly, He's got a special ointment to rub on our tummies and take away that sunburn. Ah, His gospel is so sweet to hear that the Lord forgives even our foolish wandering ways. And if it's cold, well, the good shepherd has a flask with brandy in it and a few drops in the mouth of the sheep, and he'll warm us up inside and get our tails to wiggling in delight as he picks us up in his powerful arms and puts us across his shoulders. And you know what? At this point, he can say whatever he wants. He can scold as much as he feels he needs to, because here, we're with him. We're on our way back home. He's got us. We're safe. And he's not going to be climbing the fence when he gets back to the sheepfold. He goes through the gate. And now our good shepherd changes the picture just a little bit. He says, I am the gate. I am the gate, Jesus says. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus is the gate. This is a way of picturing what Jesus will say in the same Gospel of John, chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you want to go off and think like so many Americans today that there are all sorts of ways to God, you go right ahead. That's a sheep with his own stubborn ideas. Because the good shepherd says there's no other way except through him. You will only get into the sheepfold of God and into God's tender care through this gate. I am the gate, Jesus says, and he says no one comes to the Father except through me. There is that one gate. But there are all sorts of voices out there who want people to follow other ways and do other things. Whether you're talking somehow their own merits, their own works, and it just doesn't have to be the Roman Catholic Church throwing that out. Wherever there is false teaching that leads away from the Word of God, there is somehow in that the idea that the sheep should care for themselves. That if they just try hard enough or do enough, maybe not to bring themselves to faith, but keep themselves in the faith, then you'll have it right. And these shepherds, the false shepherds, whether they take the form of the Pope or some other pastor speaking his own word and his own opinion, doesn't matter. They always have something that attracts the people, the sheep, something worldly that they want. Just listen. It's a message of Christianity for the sake of prosperity. If you just follow these instructions that I will give you, this how-to book that I've written right behind my PhD name or however they do it, then you'll have the beautiful wife, the caring husband, the healthy children, the job that never fails, the investments that always grow. And oh, sheep love to hear that. That's that little clump of grass on the other side of the fence that somehow looks so attractive instead of this wonderful, awesome care that our good shepherd gives us. Jesus says you won't even see them. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, unless that thief, who does not come through the gate, which is Jesus Christ, unless he has some means of personal gain, he's not even going to show up. He'll go where the picking is easy, where the flocks are thick, and where they love to hear all his promises of earthly things. But our good shepherd, he has a totally different agenda. He didn't come to exploit the sheep. He came to pour himself out, to shed his blood, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the sheep. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, an overflowing, abundant life that really matches real life, not empty promises of those who say if you just get it right, then your life will be fine, so that then you have to feel guilty if you're sick, guilty if you lose your job. What did I do? What am I doing wrong here? Dear sheep of the Good Shepherd, I have come, Jesus says, that they may have life and have it to the full. The Good Shepherd leading us through himself, through this gate, into the pastures of God, gives us the kind of help that continues to help even when the sun's not shining, when it's lost in the clouds of our lives, when the sickness comes and the sadness is there and the feelings just aren't right. This good shepherd has a better agenda to help us deal with the difficulties of real life in our families, in our jobs, in school, in congregations, and the challenges that the Lord puts before us as we press on with the gospel in his world to spread it. There will always be the challenges. But following the good shepherd for life, we enter through the gate. And here with him, we find the help we need in every time of need. Lots of mud puddles out there. Lots of other voices. Lots of other ways to go. But I still believe my grandfather was correct when he said, God provides us one way to heaven, but there are a million different ways that people can go to hell. One way to God in Christ. He's brought us here. He called us. He'll keep looking for us. God help us to listen to our shepherd's voice. God help us enter through the gate. Oh God, help us to follow Jesus to life, the enjoyment of God's blessings here in time and forever in eternity. We are home with Jesus. Let's stay with him. Amen.